It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Dane County has been sending more troubled children out of state for treatment. We'll learn why in just a bit.
First, the national political scene is still reacting to yesterday's surprise firing of FBI Director James Comey.
Comey has been surrounded by controversy over the last year, especially after he launched a probe into Hillary Clinton's emails shortly before Election Day, and he was in the midst of a sensitive investigation into Russian interference in last year's presidential election.
Garrett Graff is a journalist who has been covering James Comey. He's also the author of a book that looks at the history of the FBI called The Threat Matrix, The FBI at War. Garrett, welcome to Central Time.
My pleasure to be here.
Well, let's start with the White House. What was their rationale for the firing of James Comey yesterday?
Well, this is the big mystery today. The written rationale, the one that was delivered by Donald Trump's longtime bodyguard to FBI headquarters last night, was that James Comey had lost the confidence of the American public through his politicization of the Hillary Clinton email scandal last summer. Now, of course, that could be in some ways true, and we have indications that it is, but at the same time, the timing seems to be very suspicious that firing comes just days after Jim Comey confirmed for the first time publicly that his agency was investigating Donald Trump's campaign and possible collusion with Russia. And certainly they are investigating, we know, Russia's meddling in the election last year that aided Donald Trump. But what we also are beginning to understand and learn today is that those probes may have actually been accelerating, that there seems to be some indication today that Jim Comey might have in recent days asked the Justice Department for more staff to expand and speed up these probes.
And that's been
the timing that makes people very suspicious today.
That aspect has been disputed today, right? There are some that say he did ask for these extra resources for the investigation, and others inside the Justice Department saying, no, he didn't.
That's true. The independent reporting is saying that he asked for these resources. The Justice Department is denying it, but it's unclear whether the Justice Department is blanket denying it or whether there is some parsing of their denial that maybe that they are saying, for instance, that he didn't ask for more money, but that maybe what he asked for were more agents.
We had some breaking news this afternoon, too. Comey got a bipartisan invite to testify before the Senate. So what does that seem to say about how other lawmakers are seeing his dismissal?
The Democrats obviously have been outraged since last night. Republicans have been a little bit slower to weigh in forcefully one way or another. And certainly, I think we will begin, we are still in the early stages of this crisis unfolding, and in some ways we will not really have a better understanding of the trajectory of it until we may see, for instance, Donald Trump name a FBI director nominee in the hours or days ahead. There's a chance that he might actually name someone like a Merrick Garland or a Ken Weinstein, respected longtime prosecutors and Justice Department officials who might be able to continue the independence of the FBI. But if he names someone like Rudy Giuliani or Chris Christie, that would continue to raise and worsen fears that this is an attempt to politicize the FBI under Donald Trump's loyalty.
And President Trump was asked at a news conference today about that firing, and here's what he said.
Appreciate Mr. President, why did you fire Director Comey? Why did you fire Director Comey?
Because he wasn't doing a good job, very simply. He was not doing a good job.
We're talking right now with Garrett Graff, looking at the recent firing from yesterday of FBI Director James Comey. Garrett Graff is a journalist and the author of the book, The Threat Matrix, The FBI at War. And Garrett, looking at the options on the table going forward, you mentioned that we could see a nomination for a new FBI director soon. Where does that leave Congress?
So Congress has several different sets of tools at its disposal here. As you mentioned, they have invited Jim Comey to speak. There are probes into some of the same territory that the FBI is currently investigating, underway both at the House Intelligence Committee and in the Senate Intelligence Committee. And Mark Warner, the Democratic senator from Virginia, who is helping to lead that Senate probe, has been calling for a special counsel to be named to help lead this investigation into Russia and the Trump campaign, independent of any Justice Department interference.
And looking at some of the reaction yesterday, the Deputy White House Press Secretary yesterday suggested that maybe it was time to move on from the investigation. She said there was, quote, nothing there. So how does the firing of Comey advance that just move on already maybe narrative from the White House?
I think it doesn't in any way. And in fact, the fact that they are talking about that undermines in some way the very idea that they are advancing of why they fired Jim Comey in the first place. They're trying to sort of simultaneously say, this firing of Jim Comey had nothing at all to do with Russia, but now that Jim Comey's out of the way, let's get rid of the Russia thing. And you can't really hold both of those thoughts together in your mind at the same time.
The timeline and the evolving shape of opinion with President Trump toward James Comey is part of what's at issue here. And White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer said a week ago that the president had confidence in his FBI director. What do we know about what's happened since then?
Well, this is getting back to your question about the suspicions of the timing, which is that the justification that the Trump administration gave yesterday for firing Jim Comey was all about a series of events that unfolded between July and October last year. And it doesn't seem at all clear that there is any information that we know about that time period and the decisions that Jim Comey made around Hillary Clinton's email investigation that is new within the last couple of days. What we do know is new within the last couple of days is a lot about the FBI's investigation into the Trump campaign in Russia. So that's where people are beginning to wonder, because if Donald Trump had really lost confidence in the way that James Comey handled the Clinton email investigation, it would seem likely that he would have moved sooner or faster to get rid and replace James Comey.
Reportedly, the White House, President Trump, was surprised at the reaction this firing took. He was apparently the president expecting there to be, well, maybe if not applause, there to be some support, bipartisan support for this. Why do you think the White House was caught flat-footed on that?
This is an administration that does not have very many people in its inner circle who understand the ways of Washington. There are not sort of old Washington hands in the upper rungs of this administration, and certainly not within the inner circle of the president. And anyone in Washington could have told you that firing the FBI director was not to be taken lightly, and that it was going to create a political firestorm, particularly in the sort of ham-handed way that it was done yesterday. I mean, this is a longtime respected public servant, the leader of the nation's most prestigious and most storied law enforcement agency. And the White House didn't even understand where in the United States he was yesterday. They dispatched the letter firing him without any notice to the FBI headquarters without understanding that FBI Director Comey was actually in Los Angeles, where he learned of his firing while watching television.
We're talking to Garrett Graff right now, journalist and historian. He focuses on the FBI, and we're talking about the president's decision to fire FBI Director James Comey.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this decision, of the president's decision to fire the FBI director? Do you think it was a good move? Do you think it was a politically motivated move? Does this change how you see the FBI, the American intelligence community, and the ongoing investigation into Russian involvement in last year's presidential election? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll continue the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're picking up the conversation with journalist and historian Garrett Graff, and we're looking at what led to the firing of FBI Director James Comey.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Do you think President Trump made the right call by firing James Comey? Do you think he made the right call by doing it yesterday? Do you think Comey did a good job as FBI director? What do you think of his role, wanted or not, in the presidential election last year? And what about the ongoing investigation of Russian interference in that election? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Richard on the line with us from Milwaukee. Richard, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. No, I think it was a very ill-advised decision, and I wonder how insulated the president is to make such a decision like that of such great importance, without much consultation and the people around him. And also, I find it more than a bit ironic that Comey, being one of the main officials who's trying to help keep terrorism out of the United States, and President Trump, of course, being very strongly behind an anti-terrorist agenda, that President Trump would let go of a man who is the point man on that issue.
Richard, thank you for calling. Appreciate your thoughts there. And a couple of points there, Garrett. Starting with the first one, he says he seems to see a president who's pretty isolated in the White House. Do you see that same sort of indication based on this move?
Yes, and we certainly saw that last night, where this firing, as I was saying, was conducted with a minimum of foresight and planning. Most senior officials were not aware that this was in the works at all. And so their response was very flat-footed. And, you know, Donald Trump took to Twitter last night to mock Chuck Schumer, which, if that's the entirety of the communications plan for one of the most momentous acts that you can take as a president, then, you know, you are definitely underestimating what the firestorm is going to be.
You mentioned a communications plan, and there are some indications, some reporting that there wasn't one, or at least that it was thrown together on the fly. I read reports this morning of Sean Spicer huddling in bushes, trying to come up with things, talking to reporters in the dark. So can you speak to the communications aspect of this?
It was a disaster last night, and that was largely because there was no planning that appeared to have gone into this. And it's not even entirely clear how much of the White House's timeline should be trusted. They have been saying that the Deputy Attorney General initiated this review of his own accord when he took office, but there's a reporting today that makes it appear that actually Donald Trump decided to do this and then asked for legal justification from the Justice Department to do it, which in its own way would actually be a very interesting counterpoint to when in 2004, then Deputy Attorney General Jim Comey faced down the White House over an NSA surveillance program in one of the most dramatic moments that we've seen in U.S. government in up until yesterday. And that was really the moment that Jim Comey created this aura of independence that helped land him the nomination by President Barack Obama to be FBI director in 2013.
What did you think of the Deputy Attorney General's letter that went public, this memo that was went on to form the basis of this firing, at least part of it? Did it seem like a document that had been prepared for a while, that had been gathering evidence, or what did it look like to you?
There are a couple of different things that stand out for me in that memo. The first is, it's undeniably true. Jim Comey has been increasingly isolated himself over the last year. He has angered many longtime Bureau, Justice Department, White House figures over the last year, and has left people on both sides of the aisle very unhappy as he has waded into this political morass with the FBI. And that is not the role of the FBI director. I said in my Politico magazine piece on Comey's firing last night that Jim Comey has forgotten one of the fundamental tenets of Washington politics, which is that in Washington, FBI directors should be like children, seen and not heard. All of that said, it doesn't seem like the memo from the Deputy Attorney General that was released yesterday had any real justification for why Jim Comey needed to be fired on short notice with no planning yesterday afternoon. And that's where this whole thing begins to get really messy, is if that was the real reason that you had lost confidence in Jim Comey, and it's entirely possible, for instance, that a President Hillary Clinton today could have made the same decision about Jim Comey in that regard, I don't really understand what transpired yesterday that makes this so urgent and so necessary to get Jim Comey out of office, unless there's some other motive at play. And that's what many people suspect today regarding the Russia probe.
We're talking with Garrett Graff right now, journalist and author of the book, The Threat Matrix, The FBI at War. It's a history of the FBI. And we're looking at the political fallout around the firing of FBI Director James Comey. And we'll take another call now. We've got Anne joining us in Green Bay. Anne, hi.
Hello. Well, most of the time when you fire somebody, don't you usually bring them into your office and do that privately? I think the way that Trump went about this was very cowardly, raises even more suspicion. And I personally have called both my senators and my congressmen and asked them to put forth an independent investigation into this, because I think this is far from over.
And thank you for that. And Garrett, what do you say?
Yeah, this is sort of one of the amusing ironies that we are learning about Donald Trump as president, is that for a man who probably would not be in this office today except for The Apprentice television show, where he was famous for dramatically firing someone at the end of every episode, he does not actually appear to enjoy firing people in real life, and that in almost every instance that we have seen like this, he has not confronted that person personally and instead dispatched deputies and done it remotely.
And thank you so much for that call. And Garrett, I want to ask you, you wrote an in-depth piece for Politico magazine about Comey. What kind of figure would you say he was compared to other FBI directors?
So Jim Comey stepped into the FBI in 2013 after the longest serving FBI director since J. Edgar Hoover himself, Robert Mueller, who led the FBI through 12 years of really wrenching organizational change to refocus that agency around counterterrorism and international threats. Jim Comey, by contrast, he's a towering figure. He stands 6'8" and is a religion major from the College of William and Mary. He's deeply philosophical, a big fan of the theologian Reinhold Niebuhr. And he was an incredibly popular FBI director within the rank and file, very casual, utmost integrity, and certainly someone that up until last year had been seen as a very beloved figure within the FBI. That said, all throughout his tenure as FBI director, he has been very aggressively, as I said last night, biting the hand that feeds him. He has picked very public fights with people like the Apple CEO Tim Cook over surveillance and encryption. He picked public fights with Barack Obama's White House and the Justice Department over what he called the Ferguson effect, the effect of police officers who, in the wake of protests in Ferguson and the Black Lives Matter movement, were beginning to slow down and not do their jobs as thoroughly. And sort of throughout his his career has been very oppositional to whatever the power is that he is aligned against. And that is something that I think probably worried those around Donald Trump, that Jim Comey had something to prove right now, that he was in fact deeply independent from Donald Trump.
So you have a sitting FBI director, popular by some measures, who some people saw as quite independent. He's fired on short notice. He finds out on TV. What does this do to morale at the agency and to any cooperative spirit in the agency to work with, for example, the White House?
Everything that I have heard is that this is pretty devastating within the FBI, that agents are very upset. And remember, the investigation itself is taking place at a lower level, and so all of those people are, presumably quite renewed and fired up about this probe today. And it's worth remembering that Mark Felt, the person who became the famous deep throat figure during the Watergate scandals, was a disaffected FBI agent who, unhappy at the internal politics of the FBI and unhappy with what he saw as the high crimes and misdemeanors of the Nixon White House, helped to bring President Nixon down. The FBI can be a very powerful enemy if it wants to be.
Well, as we wrap up, Garrett, this is obviously very complicated and it's a story that has to unfold quite a bit as we go along. But what are you watching for? What signals are going to tell you which way the wind is blowing?
So two things I think to watch for immediately is, what does the Republican Congress do? A lot of this stands in their hands. Do they begin to turn on President Trump? Do they call for hearings? The second thing that to watch for is, as I mentioned, who does Donald Trump pick as a nominee next? Does he pick a respected bipartisan, nonpartisan, independent figure like a Ken Weinstein or a Merrick Garland or even a Fran Townsend? Or does he pick someone who would be seen as a sort of loyalist to Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, or Chris Christie, or even your famous Milwaukee sheriff?
And we leave it there. Garrett, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
This is Garrett Graff, journalist and author of the book that looks at the history of the FBI. It's called The Threat Matrix, The FBI at War.